Come dark, I laid out a rolled blanket and propped Dog's rifle against a rock. I hobbled my horse in a mound of grass and climbed a sharp slope 20 yards above the campsite. From a recess in the face of the slope, I had a clear view of all beneath me. With my rifle across my lap, I slung my riding duster about my shoulders and went to sleep thinking of White Dog and Jip Pope and others had fallen along the way. When sunlight crept across my lap, I got up, climbed down the slope, and cleared all traces of my campsite. By mid-afternoon, I rode up a low rise and looked behind me. The hard land lay peaceful and silent, and I sat there for the longest time, just thinking. It was foolish, I reckon. But I sat wondering how long Red Cloud and the Sioux could hold this land. Could they hold it any longer than the ones they'd taken it from, or the ones before them? And once the white people, my people, took it, how long would they hold it? And who would someday drive them from it? It was foolish thoughts, the thoughts of a man alone, small and quiet in the face of this harsh slice of heaven. I imagined eyes behind every rock and above every ledge. They could see me, I couldn't see them. I had no choice but to ride on. Most of my life I'd ridden the shadows trying to keep from being found. This was a whole other thing for me. By evening, I'd crossed a wide range of grazing land and started back up a low rise of loose rock. I'd seen hoof prints of many horses traveling in close order. They were not Indian horses, for they wore shoes, and they were not carrying riders, judging from their shallow impressions. I studied the prints as I climbed a loose rock and watched them fade and disappear as the loose rock turned into a hard, solid surface. For over an hour, I rode leaning from my saddle, studying the ground for any trace of hoof prints. Only when I'd nearly given up and raised upright in the saddle did I see the Catahoula cur bouncing along quietly with his nose to the ground as if helping me search. Well, I'll be damned! I reined toward him, and he stopped long enough to turn his head and raise a front paw, then loped away toward a high wash of dirt that led upward into a narrow valley. When he disappeared, I followed his tracks up the slope of dirt and loose rocks and didn't see the 8-mounted warriors until I topped the ridgeline and stared at them from 10 feet away. I jerked to a halt and froze. My hand started instinctively to my holster, but I stopped it. At this distance, all I could do was hope and pray they knew Jack and Shod and what we'd done for Red Cloud. "I am a good friend of the Sioux. I saved the life of Red Cloud." He made no expression. I waited a second. "You speak English?" he spoke to the warriors. "What did you say?" Three horses topped the rise behind them and began circling to the front.
"He said you sound like a man scared out of his wits, who'd do or say anything to save his neck."
"Howdy, Jack."
"You have seen what happened to others. Still you come. Why?"
Red Cloud sat across the low fire on a stack of blankets and hides just high enough above us that Jack, Shod, and I had to tilt our heads. "Business."
"Your business is to come into my country? To bring horses to my enemies?"
"I can't deny that's why we came here. I reckon we hadn't looked at it that way." Red Cloud drew a firm smile across his tired face. He looked better now than when I saw him last, but he still had a ways to go.
"None of your people look at it that way. I don't understand. I do not come to your country and cut roads where you do not want roads. Yet you people keep coming even after I tell you not to."
"Mr. Cloud, we can't tell you why our people do what they do. We just deal horses. It would take somebody higher up to tell you why the government is doing what they're doing up here. Tell you the truth, I don't think anybody knows."
"You come while others flee. You saw the trap my warriors set for you and Bone the Fool. You are alive at the top of my country where the army wants to be but cannot. Your friends hide me from the soldiers and return me to my people when they could have given me to the army. Who is higher than you? You killed a man for a horse that did not belong to you."
I glared at Jack.
"We talk a little."
"You and the loafer, White Dog, traveled through our warriors, and then you killed him. You saw through his trap. You fight like one who has fought against many. You sleep in the cold and watch from above your campfire, so your enemies cannot see you. And you come here led by a dog who belongs to no one, but who leads you as a friend. Why has the spirit brought you here, Miller Crow?
Crow?
Shad stared at me as if seeing me for the first time. I snapped my eyes toward Jack.
I didn't tell him that.
You try to hide from your name, but you cannot. Your name travels around you. I heard it from one who heard it from the Whitebeard who kills for money. He hunts you for killing Jip Pope.
Yeah, it's been a busy trip. Red Cloud spread his arms.
But now you are here at the top of my country, where your enemies will be my enemies. And you can rest and sleep on soft skins without looking over your shoulder. When you have rested, we will talk and make smoke together.
By the end of the week, though I wasn't going to complain, Indian food was shooting through me like a dose of salts. As I came back from the woods one night holding my belly in both hands, I heard a rustle in the grass. I dropped to the ground, crawled a few yards, and peeped over the edge of a low rise. Red Cloud stood tall and still, gazing out into the darkness, his shadow drawn long in the moonlight as he spoke to the empty night.
Find someone else's country where you can do what you think you must do. You are not welcome here. We are... Find someone else's country where you can do what you...
He stopped, and instead of being caught crawling around like a snake...
Evening.
I stood up as quickly as he turned toward me and walked over.
Real pretty country.
I heard sound like small cannon.
I ain't felt good all day.
Huh? White man's food does me same way.
He drew up his shoulders beneath his blanket and gazed out with me. A shooting star crossed in a slow arch that seemed to take forever.
I say words to the night to know how to say them to little White Chief Carrington.
I didn't mean to bother you. I'll go...
No, stay. Tell me what to say, so they will understand me and stop coming.
I wish I could, Mr. Cloud. I truly do. But you're wasting your breath.
Better my breath than my people's blood.
I hear you. But you'll waste both, and they'll still keep coming. They think they're supposed to. Like it's meant to be or something. They call it manifest destiny.
I have seen that about the whites. They think all things belong to them. They only hear their own words. At first, they come bringing gifts. They looked at our country and liked what we have. And we were friends. Then they come to help us. But we need no help. Then they come to teach us their ways. But we have our ways. Then they come to have us make words on paper. We need no words on paper. So they left us. Now they come only to kill us.
I know.
Why are you agreeing with me?
No offense, but I'm just doing it to shut you up.
To shut me up?
Because like I said, you're wasting your breath.
Then we will spill blood.
Now you're talking. Shoot it up and get it over with. The quicker they kill you, the sooner they can start feeling bad about it. In 100 years, they'll really be sorry. Some will be plumb pissed off about it, but see if they offer you your land back.
You talk strange.
I just finished fighting a war against the same bunch. They all live by a big river and a bucket of mud. They kicked our ass real smart-like. Now all you hear them say is what a terrible thing it was.
The war to free the slave people, like your buffalo man?
You believe that, you're as stupid as they think you are. That war was about business, same as any other war. Congress don't give a damn about the colored people no more than they do about you or me or any little feller. The war has been over more than a year, and they still ain't gave the colored folk their citizenship. Even if they do, it'll be 100 years before they can vote. You just watch.
Red Cloud looked puzzled. I caught myself rambling on.
The colored folk might have gained freedom on paper, but it was mostly for show. That big feller back there couldn't even drink in a saloon. The South had something the North wanted, so they found a reason to go to war. Ain't that always the way?
If I could go there and speak to the Chief of Chiefs, I could tell them what you say. Then they would listen and do different.
Appreciate your confidence, Mr. Cloud. But if you do that, they'll either hang you or put you in a circus. Either way, you've seen your last shooting star without it bumping into something.
You have much bitterness inside you.
Nah, but I've sure got my share. I fought guerrilla for a lost cause, same as you're doing here. I reckon it's still in me. Makes me think different. Your country's being held by an occupation force, but it won't last forever. Stay guerrilla, whatever the cost. Demand justice. Make the bastards kill you.
Would you die to see justice?
I felt my stomach growl. Nah, I reckon not. But that's a different thing. I'm nothing but a two-bit outlaw.
I see. That is what you made of yourself. Would you die for money?
Well, I've come near it a few times.
Honor? Would you die for honor?
Well, no, but we're not talking about...
Thank you. You have shown me how to repay you for saving my life.
What? Letting us take those horses to Kearney would be thanks enough.
So you can make money?
Well, yeah, to tell the truth. I care a lot for money. Red Cloud gazed into the dark sky with a wry smile and drew his blanket around him. My intestines took another twist.
But I will repay you with much more.
Well, that's very kind of you to offer, but money's plenty.
I understand.
The next morning, Shad, Jack, and Kermit stood around me as I scrubbed my long johns in a creek.
Whatever you said to him, it certainly has him fired up.
Just politics and religion, Shad. I should have kept my mouth shut.
Well, he's ready to cut a deal. Maybe you work better on an empty stomach.
I picked up my boots with two fingers and sloshed them around in the creek. The Catahoula cur walked up beside me, looked at my wet boots, and stuck his nose in my face. I patted his head and nudged him away as he tried to lick me. I noticed he was looking slicker and better fed. What's he saying, Jack?
He didn't go into detail, but it sounds like he's giving us our horses and a bunch of his to take to Fort Kearney.
Congratulations. Once again, you've impressed someone.
I glanced at Shad. His expression said nothing. Kermit stepped closer and peeped around over my shoulder. Can I have 5 damn minutes alone? Kermit snapped back. As they walked away, I slung water from my boots and shoved my bare feet in them. When I'd hung my socks and long johns over a bush, I started up the creek bank with the Catahoula cur beside me. I tried to remember what I'd said to Cloud last night. I felt embarrassed about most of it. I hoped he didn't think I was crazy. A group of Indians smiled and nodded their heads as I walked to Red Cloud's teepee. I glanced at their ringleader, and he made a sign with his fingers like many horses running.
What's wrong with them?
Jack and Shad were waiting for me in front of the teepee.
Hell, I don't know.
Stands Alone stuck her head through the flap and beckoned us inside. She left when we entered. Two warriors joined us. We watched as they seated themselves beside Red Cloud on the ground just below his pile of hides and blankets.
This is Crazy Horse and Band of Iron. We will make smoke together.
I studied the two Indians' faces as Red Cloud filled a long pipe and touched a burning twig to it. Band of Iron had the expression of a man waiting to be told what to do, but Crazy Horse stared with a fixed jaw. His eyes swirled between a whisper and a scream, like a man ready to wrap death in small packages and send them to everybody he knew.
I have thought of your words.
Red Cloud leaned forward and passed the pipe to my hands.
Yeah. About last night. Don't listen to me. I'm just a damn outlaw. I don't know nothing. I'm out here knocking my nuts together every day, just keeping from getting killed or caught.
Red Cloud looked puzzled. Jack and Shad stared down and shook their heads. Band of Iron patted himself on the crotch, made two fists, and bumped them together to show Red Cloud what I meant.
I understand.
I shot Jack a smug glance and handed him the pipe. The smoke I'd inhaled dropped against my jaw and tender intestines, and I felt them twist and groan.
But you spoke from here.
Well, that's for sure.
You did not think of your words the way the White Chiefs and even I have done. For that, I say you are a man to be listened to, a man who speaks from his inside.
But don't take it too far. I wasn't in the best of shape.
Red Cloud silenced me with a toss of his hand. By now, the pipe had gone full circle and my stomach whined pitifully as Red Cloud took a long draw and delivered it to me. The teepee swirled in a brown-gray fog. My eyes turned wet. Sickness crawled at the front of my throat. I inhaled a heavy chunk of smoke and shoved the pipe to Jack.
If you were fighting a large army with few warriors, how would you fight?
Cloud glanced past Crazy Horse, then stared at me for an answer. I saw he was testing me.
I reckon I'd draw off a few of them at a time, make them chase me, keep them mad, keep them scared. I'd stretch them out along narrow trails, then jump out and kill them one and two at a time.
Crazy Horse stiffened up with a curious gleam in his eyes.
See? This man knows our ways of war.
It's nothing new. We fought that way along the border. It's the way, well, the only way a small army stands a chance. It's better to win a lot of little battles than to lose one big one.
The White Army knows this. Why do they fight the way they do?
They got no choice. It's all worked out on paper before they get here. They're fighting here in your land. They don't know where to hide, and they have so many dumb kids to get killed that they don't even care. They'll get you the hard way. They'll kill your food supply and keep pouring in troops. They'll buy some of you off with treaties and lies, divide you, starve you. They'll win, make no mistake.
We will never be beaten. We will fight.
I know. They'll never beat you inside, but they will beat you. I'd be lying if I told you what you wanted to hear.
I inhaled a deep draw and felt my inside shudder. Red Cloud nodded at Crazy Horse, then turned to me. I felt my stomach swell up in my throat.
You will take the horses we took from Star Chief Connor's troops back when the moon was cold. You will sell them to the army and buy guns for me from the Laramie Loafers.
I threw my hand over my mouth. My eyes filled with water. I nodded and tried to swallow. It didn't help. I stood up wobbling.
I have your word that you will do this for me?
I couldn't say a word for fear of getting sick right in their laps. I nodded my head up and down vigorously, felt my jaws cramp and my eyes water as I spun toward the open air.
Good. It is done.
I couldn't just sit there and blow puke all over his teepee.
Of course not. So instead, you've agreed to sell him guns to use against the United States Army. The list grows longer.
What's that mean?
It simply means I'm wondering about this partnership of ours.
Look, Mr. Shot, you don't owe me a thing. I can pay you right now, a dollar a day since we left Crofton, or a third of the
Thank
string.
You. But we're a little upcountry to start negotiating a buyout.
Then shut up about it, boy.
Shot's nostrils flared and his eyes turned into warning labels on a bottle of poison. I knew it was a mistake and I already regretted it. I was just too sick to stop myself. Kermit jumped away as Shod's hand slapped his holster, then stopped.
So finally it comes out.
He let his hand fall away from his gun and stared with a mused look.
The man who speaks from his inside.
I didn't mean it.
Sure you did.
But you've been on my ass in a sneaking way ever since I got here. Now we ain't kin and we ain't the same color. You're too big to fight and too smart to argue with, so leave me the hell...
Just the way I like it. Everybody's pissed at everybody else.
Quiet Jack walked up with a rope thrown over his shoulder. I looked up at Shod, spread my hands.
Damn it, Shod!
Just turned and walked away.
Kermit, who are you mad at?
Kermit glanced between us, shrugged, turned, and followed Shod toward the horses. The Catahoula Cur sat looking back and forth.
If he's on you about selling guns to the Indians, he's right.
Don't start.
They'll hang us a bunch of times and talk bad about us when we're gone.
Jack, I was just trying to get out before I puked.
Cloud thinks you gave your word.
Then I'll explain.
Well, let me know before you do. I want a 2-day head start.
Damn it, Jack, what am I gonna do? I'm sicker than a dog. I went and said all that bull last night.
Stands Alone walked up with a gourd of fresh water in one hand and what looked like chopped up tree bark in the other. She smiled at Jack as she offered them to me.
Swallow this. It will make the rumbling go away.
I'll try anything.
I reached out a trembling hand, took the concoction, and threw back a long drink of water. She watched for a second as I felt my face draw tight across my cheekbones, but in a second, I felt my stomach calm down.
Well, at least that's one less fire to worry about. One evening, as I stood looking across an endless herd of horses, I watched Dirty Jaw come riding by with three other braves. When he saw me, he cut away from the group and reined up near me. I dropped my hand near my holster in case there were any hard feelings over my killing his friend White Dog, but he saw my move and made it a point to keep his hands chest high in the reins.
So, you made it to the top of Red Cloud's country.
He swung his horse around.
I wonder how it would go between you and White Dog. Did he die well?
He's dead, however well that is. You don't seem very broken up about it. I thought he was your friend.
Sure was. My best friend. We rode many a mile together. But that don't make you my enemy, does it?
You tell me. He waved a hand as if to wipe away any memory of White Dog.
Nah, I got nothing to settle with you. Fact is, I'm the one who will be bringing the guns to you from Laramie. I'm looking forward to working with you.
I don't know that I'll do it. I gotta think about
it. Oh, you'll do it. I got no doubts about that.
What makes you so sure?
Money. What else? I told Cloud you'd do anything for money. You might say I gave you a good reference.
He had no cause to say that about me. Did he believe you?
Who knows what goes on in his mind? But he knows that's why I'm doing it. I made it plain that my interest is in cashing in on some traveling money. Cloud understands. He knows the way of the world outside of here.
I just shook my head as I thought of the children back in the camp. Saw the seriousness in their eyes as they sharpened knives and wiped blood from the seized army swords. And you call yourself an Indian?
Uh-uh. I'm only half. And even that half has dipped a long time from the white man's well. It's not my war. I can't stop it or change it. But I'll do my best to get rich from it.
It crossed my mind that I would have preferred it being him that day overlooking the wide valley instead of White Dog.
But Cloud knows all that. He even spoke up for me to some of the other chiefs. He said he believed they could put all their trust in me as long as there was money involved.
He slid up on his horse. And I reckon he also knows he'd cut his throat if the army paid you enough to do it.
One job at a time. See you when I get the rifles.
As I watched him ride away, Band of Iron came riding out of the herd of horses and pulled up beside me. He must have seen the look on my face.
Pay him no attention. He is a blind wolf. He misses what he knows is here, but can no longer see. Because of it, he snaps at everything, can grab on to anything.
That's just a long way of calling him a no-good son of a bitch.
There is no short way to tell of a man's spirit. If there was, we are all no good sons of bitches.
By the time we'd rested and got ready for our trek to Fort Kearney, at least another 800 warriors had drifted in to join Red Cloud's war. Many had left their brick reservation houses, abandoned their 10 acres of cropland, and arrived in wagons loaded with corn. They wore ill-fitting suits given them by the agency and hid their close-cropped hair beneath flat-brimmed hats. Some had submitted to reservation life after barely escaping the gallows during the uprising of 62. Now they shed the white man's world like moths shedding heavy cocoons, ready to follow Red Cloud in one last spree of bloodletting. We watched a stolen mailman's buggy pull in and spill out four young warriors. One of them ripped the shirt from his chest and threw it in a fire. Jesus, Jack. Red Cloud must have some powerful medicine. Shad pushed up his hat and watched the newcomers pull rifles from beneath the buggy seat.
If oppression is powerful medicine, I suppose you're right. But I think it's more a matter of the right person in the right place at the right time. Red Cloud just happened to be here when these people felt their backs against the wall. The government would do well to take notice and learn from their mistake. Or someday it'll be the colored race doing the same thing.
I wouldn't count on it. I threw my saddle and bedroll up on a ruined gelding.
On what? The government learning from their mistakes? Or colored people rising up against oppression?
Why is it any damn thing I say you ride off think I'm trying
to... We better get a move on if we want to get that string across the river before dark.
Jack deliberately led his horse between Shad and me. I turned back to tying down my bedroll as Shad went to help Kermit with the horses.
Okay, Jack, you heard it. I didn't say a damn thing out of the way.
No, but after what you said the other day, you can't blame him for being on the defense a little.
Maybe you're right. But I don't like being around somebody if I have to watch every word I say. I got nothing against colored folk, and I never liked slavery. Hell, I'm glad they got their freedom. I'm all for it.
Well, I reckon Chut and his family would be real pleased to hear it.
What the hell do you mean by that?
Nothing. You've got it stuck in your head that all colors were slaves, stable boys, and chambermaids, so I reckon there's no point trying to explain it to you.
Explain what?
But before Jack could answer, Band of Iron rode up with a blanket roll tied behind his cavalry saddle and a lariat slung around his shoulder.
I will ride with you for a ways.
Suits me, but I ought to tell you I've been offending everybody lately.
I stopped being offended by the white man many moons ago.
Three days out of the Red Wall, we split the string into two groups. Jack and I kept 40 horses. Shod, Kermit, and Band of Iron traveled 50 yards ahead with the other 60. Some of Red Cloud's horses bore a cavalry brand. They were thin and carried themselves low and tired. I reckoned he hadn't had time to rest them and fatten them up. Traveling with Red Cloud's blessing and Band of Iron to prove it, we made good time pushing the string toward Fort Kearney. We still had to watch out for any Shoshone prowling about, and there was always the chance of running into the Pope Gang or the U.S. Army. But other than that, and bears, cats, and rattlesnakes, we pushed right along. I nearly jumped out of my skin when a band of 7 Brule Sioux warriors appeared from out of nowhere. But they were met by Band of Iron, and he explained our situation. The leader was Brown Horse, a peaceful-looking feller with a broad mouth that seemed always on the verge of a smile. His small tribe was among the others who'd met part of General Connor's invasion forces over the past winter, and though outnumbered 7-1, they'd sent the soldiers back to Laramie, wounded, ragged, starved, and scared out of their minds.
You are a man with many people's horses?
I prefer Beatty, Jim Beatty. Over the rest of our trip, Brown Horse's group stayed close until we neared the forks of Piney Creek. He seemed to feel it necessary to think of names for everybody. Quiet Jack became Man Who Has Known Stands Alone. Shod became Buffalo Man Who Lifted Two Hands, and Kermit became Boy Who Speaks Only to Spirits. I felt bad about the run-in I'd had with Big Shod, and it seemed the more I tried to clear the air and put it behind us, the worse it got. Shod said he'd forgotten about my racial remarks, so I reckon I was the one who couldn't put it away. But he was still concerned about me being Miller Crow. I couldn't understand why. If I was Miller Crow, and I'm not saying I am, what difference would it make? We gave you a job. We made you a partner. We ain't held your color against you. How many people would do that?
You're right, of course. That certainly was white of you. Yeah!
What's the use, Jack? We'll never see eye to eye on anything. Black is black and white is white. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. There ain't a damn thing I can do about it. We reined left of the string of horses, keeping them between them and the rising slope of spruce and heavy pines.
I reckon you're right.
Rider coming!
He pointed toward the front of the string as Kermit and Band of Iron swung them around a curve in the high trail. To the left, the land broke off and dropped at a steep angle 100 feet.
He sees us! Still he comes! One white man! Beard like snow!
Flowers?
Why not? I figured you'd see him again, according to Queenie.
Crow, you dirty rotten coward, come face me!
Yeah, that's him. I took out my .44, checked it, and slid it loose into my holster. Beside me, the Catahoula cur dropped his head, drew his tail between his legs, and slinked away into the woods. I couldn't get over how good he was looking.
I reckon I'm on my own. I think it's time we settle up for once and for good.
You're still weak.
Jack nodded toward the soft blanket and bearskin I'd fitted to soften my saddle.
I'll kill him for you if you want me to.
Well, this'll only take a minute.
There you are, you son of a bitch.
Flowers glanced around. I reckon he was looking out for the dog. The Indians gathered in a wide circle. Flowers stood in the center. His face looked lopsided from missing an ear. Shod and Kermit steadied the front of the string.
This time it's me and you. No tricks, no dogs, no nothing. I'm asking you to call it fair and tell this bunch to stay out of it. This ain't for bounty. It's man to man.
Part of these horses are Red Cloud's. I'm running them for them. I reckon if you win, they got every right to kill you. I just said it to rattle him, to give me an edge. What difference would it make to me if I was dead?
That figures, you cowardly bastard.
Flowers spread his feet shoulder width, scraped his heels in the dirt, opened and closed his fingers, and relaxed with his hand poised near his holster. I eased from my saddle. Walking slowly toward him in the middle of the road, I slipped the leather glove from my right hand and dropped it in the dirt. Cool air ran between my fingers as I stopped at 10 yards and wiped my hand on my shirt. Let's do it. I saw his lips move, but I heard no words. I stared into his eyes and watched for the slightest flicker. He could have been praying or cussing. I had no idea. I saw an eyebrow arch. A gleam came alive in his eyes. I felt my hand close around the handle of my .44, felt it swing up as his hand did the same. He came forward a step and his eyes widened, his gun swinging up quicker than mine. I tried to speed up. I couldn't. But his gun had swung away in a crazy broken motion and he slammed forward, struck from behind. His shot flew out across the valley. Mine whistled past his head. The Catahoula Cur ripped strips of shirt and meat from his back.
God almighty!
I tried pointing my gun at the rolling thrash and bundle of limbs, fangs, and fur. The Indian spread out as Flowers and the dog rolled through them. Flowers kept banging his pistol on the dog's back. The dog had him pinned, mauling his face, his shoulder, and going for his throat. Flowers tried pointing the gun in the dog's face, but the big cur grabbed his hand and slung it back and forth like a loose rag. Then they rolled again. Flowers disappeared over the edge of the cliff. The dog flipped up from the ground, shaking himself in a cloud of dust. He peeped over the edge and turned toward us with two fingers sticking from his mouth.
Jesus Christ!
One finger hung down the dog's chin. The other stuck straight out as if given directions.
Dog who points the way.
Brown Horse and the Indians nodded and mumbled among themselves.
Lord God, spit him out, boy!
Carefully, I approached the Catahoula Cur, but the dog growled, shaking his head. Flower's bloody finger waved back and forth as if correcting me.
Don't ever kick that dog.
We topped the high trail and started across a stretch of jagged flatland when we saw the wake of dust. I cocked my rifle and crouched down beside Shad behind a small boulder. Brown Horse and his warriors had disappeared with half the string. They would close in from behind if need be. Kermit and Band of Iron held the other half in the shelter of a rock canyon just below ground level.
Every lunatic in this country must lay around waiting to hear a gunshot.
Army.
Shad dropped back down after peeping over the rock. 10 feet away, Jack lay flat on a large boulder 10 feet above us. I peeped up over the edge and dropped back. Two Pawnee scouts rode straight toward us from 50 yards away. 10 yards behind them, I saw the face of Mad Johnson leading his column, gazing around in every direction.
It's the crazy son of a bitch who killed them Indian kids. We better get ready to spread a good story.
That's your department.
I stepped up on the rock and waved my arms in the air.
Over here!
I hoped Band of Iron would see what was going on and hightail it out before Johnson's patrol got too close. I could explain a lot of things, but not having one of Red Cloud's warriors wrangling horses.
Thank God it's you! We were afraid you were more of them damn murdering Sioux!
The Pawnees just stopped and stared with their rifles propped straight up from their laps. Shad stood up and raised his hands chest high as Mad Johnson rode in closer.
Captain Johnson, I was just telling your scouts. I'm glad it's y'all instead. Now, just a minute, Captain.
If he says another word, put a bullet in his head.
Shad lowered his hands. One of the scouts gigged his horse forward and rode to the edge of the rock canyon. In minutes, Kermit joined us with his hands in the air. Three soldiers brought out the string of horses. Band of Iron had slipped away. Jack never made a peep from atop the large boulder.
Sabone was right. You do have a string of horses and a giant colored fellow with you. You're Bone's kid Kermit, aren't you?
Kermit just shrugged.
All right.
Here's the whole of it, Captain. There was three wranglers with me, and I did have a string of horses like Bone said. But the rest of it was craziness. The part about Red Cloud, his daughter and all. But after Carrington let me go, Fetterman told me I could round up some horses. I could sell them to him. Now that's just what I did, as you can see.
Where's your third wrangler?
The poor feller. They killed him. Bunch of Sioux. Cut off two of his fingers and threw him over a cliff about 5 miles back. That's what the shooting was about.
That's not bad, Crow.
Don't start with that Crow stuff again, Captain. Carrington will tell you I'm Jim Beatty.
But let me tell you what's going on in my world. Two old teamsters arrested in Laramie. They had 4 stolen horses, said they got them from you.
Try to help a man and what do you get? We didn't know the horses were stolen. Ask Carrington. We were slickered. But I just let the old fellers have them horses to haul his dead woman out of here.
The dead woman story. Tack's been using it for years. The nearest he's ever come to a female is when his mother spit him out in the dirt.
Well, how would I have known? I tried to help. This is the thanks.
You know Marshal Long Jake Howard?
I felt my stomach crawl. I met him, yes, sir.
He says you sold him 18 stolen horses. He's not real happy. He's coming back up here from Laramie to kill you.
There again. Same situation, but I only sold him 9. Queenie sold him the rest.
I know. And she says she got them from you, all stolen. There's also a settler in his family in Laramie, but he says he found 2 horses roaming around near Crofton. I figure he's lying for you just to show his appreciation.
You can ask Carrington. He'll tell you.
Are you kin to Carrington or something?
No. Johnson turned to Shod.
Are you as big a liar as he is?
Of course not.
Where did you learn to speak like that?
Chopping cotton, Captain. Where else?
How much of what he's saying is true?
All of it, as far as I can tell. I hired in with him a few weeks back. It's been quite an experience. If I was him, I'd blow my brains out.
Don't worry. Long Jake has sworn to do that. I probably should kill you, all 3, actually, but that's not my job. I'm here to comb the countryside and sweep up the trash. Kermit Bone, your father is at Fort Kearney. He's an idiot, you know.
Kermit shrugged.
Captain, sir, some of these horses have cavalry brands. Some are Indian and some look like they came from a horse show.
Why is it I'm not surprised?
I can explain.
That doesn't surprise me either. Round them up. We'll escort them to Kearney. I love this job.
That evening, Johnson sent for me as the soldiers settled into their guard positions. His revolver lay in his lap, his hat hung from his empty holster. His wild head of black hair glistened in the glow of the low fire before him.
Where are you from?
Pennsylvania. His right hand calmly picked up the revolver and pointed it in my face. His left hand scooped up a spoonful of beans.
Go again?
Kentucky?
Yeah, I'd say Kentucky.
He waved his pistol toward a rock beside him and laid the weapon back across his lap. I eased down on the rock.
You ever been in a war?
Yeah, stars and bars. I wouldn't mention it was with Quantrill fighting guerrilla along the border. I didn't know when this bastard might snap.
No kidding. We kick your asses or what?
That's a fact.
God, how I wish I could have died in that war. It was truly something. Mortars flying, waves of men clashing head-on. The way God intended war to be, not like this rotten, stinking mess.
I watched cautiously as he picked up the revolver, scratched his head with the barrel, then wiped his hand around the tip of it like you would do with a canteen before taking a drink. The poor bastard didn't realize how close his mind was to sucking a mouthful of fire from the end of that gun.
This isn't a war. This is soldiers scraping scum off their boots.
Well, it looks like that scum is sticking pretty tight. I'd bet on the Sioux from what I've seen so far.
I know you're a fool, a liar, and a thief, and all such as that. But I have to agree with you. We'll lose this one. Lose it big.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? I'll tell you why. We're wrong here. Got no business here. Of course, you didn't hear me say that, but this is kind of like attacking a large farm or ranch somewhere.
I just stared.
See, here's Red Cloud, running the spread from the Black Hills to the Bighorn Mountains. All the elk and deer and buffalo, it's his stock. It's what he feeds his family, the same as my father's cattle in Maryland. See what I mean? And all Red Cloud is saying is, stay the hell off my farm, but nobody listens. They don't realize, or want to, or something.
Yeah, I get it. And what would your daddy do if I came cutting a road through his land, killing his cattle and chopping his trees?
Bang.
Shadows from the fire danced in his eyes.
Yeah, but that's Red Cloud's sad story. I'll be glad when we gut the son of a bitch so I can go home for a couple of weeks.
Well, that's a spirit. Mad Johnson's craziness must have settled in me with my beans and biscuits, for I went to sleep thinking of Red Cloud's farm and woke the next morning with it still on my mind. Maybe if he worked his spread, he would have seen it different. If he had his braves, rope, brand, and herd the elk, deer, and buffalo, he would have understood. If they'd worked up a sweat, clearing, cutting, building barns with stalls for their stock, and taking them to slaughter pens and county fairs, it could have been a whole different thing. Fences would help. Maybe a corral and loading pen here and there. If we could just see him doing something, anything, making progress of some kind. I had to stop thinking about it. Shad, I'm keeping my word to Red Cloud. I'm taking him rifles.
You've completely lost touch with any spark of intelligence.
Hear me out. Just imagine Red Cloud as a big farmer somewhere, say, Maryland.
They will hang you.
Only his farm runs from the Black Hills to...
No, Mr. Beatty, or Crow, or God knows whoever you are. I will not go along with this madness. Innocent people will die.
Innocent people are dying. Red Cloud's farmers, I mean braves, all his people, are they guilty?
You know what I mean. Our country is at war with him, and like it or not, those people are the enemy.
You saying it's right?
Of course it isn't, but it's a reality. We have laws. We are loyal Americans. I am, at least.
But just a minute, old buddy. When your bunch was slaving in the fields, wasn't that a reality? I recall that was legal as hell.
That law was changed. That injustice was rectified.
Horseshit. Ain't a damn thing changed, and it won't in 1,000 years. Not if you count on the law to do it. Now, you're a hell of a lot smarter than me.
That's correct. And I'm out. You can hang by yourself. Is Mr. Smith going to go along with us?
There wasn't a doubt in my mind. Jack would jump at the chance of doing anything this crazy. If he don't, I'll kill the whole idea. Fair enough?
I must be losing my mind.
The whole day we crept along rock walls and in and out of gullies and plug washes, off the trail and across country fit for mountain goats. 3 times we spotted a handful of Brule Sioux, but always at a distance and only for a few seconds. I had no doubt it was Brown Horse's warriors. I figured he didn't want things to look too quiet. I might raise suspicion. By late evening, we followed the open trail to the fork of Piney Creek. Once again, the call owl let me know that Jack and the Sioux had us covered.
Clever how you two worked that out.
Comes in handy.
You and Mr. Smith are extraordinary in your own way.
We get by.
I had hopes that by now I would have gained your confidence enough to be a partner. I mean, a real partner.
You are.
No, I've never been included, not in what you're really up to. I realize once we settle up on the horses and guns, you two will go your way and I'll be back to a dollar a day somewhere.
I know how this disappoints you, but we ain't up to nothing.
Sure. I shouldn't ask.
Why are you so damned interested in our business, if we had any?
You can't imagine how hard it is out here for a colored man. I can wrangle, poke cows, handle a gun, I can do it all, but I'm seldom given an opportunity. I have a college degree. Even that doesn't help.
So you figure throwing in with folks like us would give you an edge? You're looking to tie into some quick money?
What choice do I have? I'm not good at shining shoes and cleaning spittoons.
Well, I'm sorry if you've read us wrong, but we ain't up to nothing but dealing these horses.
No offense, but I believe the two of you rob banks more often than old folks go to the bathroom.
You've missed your mark this time.
Well, I don't want to intrude.
Shad, if it means anything, I can't think of a man I'd rather have on my side robbing a bank, if I was robbing banks. Which I ain't.
Thanks.
He gigged his horse away to the front of the column. I reined up and let the string of horses drift by until Kermit brought up the rear. Stepping my horse in beside his, I pushed my hat up my forehead. We're heading into Fort Kearney in a little while. I reckon you're free to go your own way if you've a mind to. Your pa is somewhere around here, but if you'll take some advice, you might want to strike off on your own. No offense, but your pa ain't the best influence a man could follow. Kermit looked at me and shrugged.
Thank you, Jesus! Oh, thank you, Jesus!
Captain Fetterman spread his trembling hands.
God bless this wonderful man, these magnificent animals, glorious, majestic horses.
He ran among them with his arms spread, stroking, patting. It was a little embarrassing. I glanced at Shad and Kermit. They just stared. Mad Johnson reined up beside me with a crazy grin.
Fetterman, when he's happy, is something I don't care to see. Good luck, whoever you are.
Wait! Where did you find this wonderful man?
He crawled out from under a rock. It'll be in my report. Question him if you can. It's fascinating.
Pay him no mind. You did it! By God, just like you said you would.
I slipped down from my saddle and slapped my shirt with my hat, dust billowing. Some of them have army brands, Captain, but I can explain.
Nonsense, lad! Don't you dare! We made a deal for horses, and I'm damn glad to get them. Let's get a drink and negotiate.
Negotiate? We already agreed.
Come on.
I glanced back at Shad and Kermit and shrugged. They turned the horses toward the livery barn.
It's not very often that someone beats those horse thieving Sioux at their own game. I want to hear all about it.
Inside his tent, I plopped down on a wooden stool and dropped my hat on my knee. I looked at the bottle on his desk and wiped my mouth. Come to think of it, a drink don't sound bad right now. He fumbled in a desk drawer, searching for glasses, I figured. Yeah, it was a bit hairy out there for a while, I have to admit. There I was, Indians.
I don't want to hear your bull.
He pulled up a folded paper and slapped it on his desk.
I want to settle with you and get you out of my face.
I sat there with my mouth hanging open as he unfolded the letter and slid it to me. I picked it up cautiously. It said, "These horses are the confiscated property." I sprang up and found a .44 pointed straight at my nose as I stepped forward. I froze.
You sharp-eyed little turd! You came in here, drank my whiskey straight from the bottle, talked to me like I was a damned civilian, insulted my troops, and dared talk price when my men's lives were in danger. Tell me what I owe you.
Easy, Captain. You've won. I don't like it, but I know when I'm licked.
That's dandy! Now, march your ragged ass out there and tell your black wrangler and Bones idiot kid that you just got screwed by a military man.
I felt the skin draw tight across the back of my neck. I would buy Red Cloud's guns for him if I had to go to New York and rob a bank to do it. Tell me one thing. Do you blue-belly pricks ever keep your word to anybody about anything?
No, but we don't have to. We're your government. Carrying guns!
I find it peculiar that he associated the incident with a sexual act.
Am I talking to myself here?
No, but you're not far from it. It's over. You might as well accept it.
So you're giving up?
You're incredible. There's nothing left. It's over. What does it take to convince you?
Shad flipped a blanket on the hay-piled floor and stretched out on it. Kermit turned and stared into an empty stall. He rolled over on his side and laid his hat over his face.
Wake me if anything changes.
I left the barn mumbling to myself and kicking rocks. For over an hour, I roamed around the dark fort watching silhouettes move inside tents lit by glowing lanterns. When I heard Mad Johnson's voice, I was coming from a tent on the edge of the parade field.
Don't worry about my part. I'll get it out through one of the Laramie loafers.
My senses perked up. I eased down flat to the ground and ran my finger under the edge of the tent.
It's quite a pile. There's no time to sit on it.
Don't worry. It's as good as done.
I raised the bottom edge enough to peep under and up at Johnson and a bearded feller in a long-tailed riding duster. On a table between them lay a pair of bulging saddlebags. I knew they weren't whispering about their laundry. The bearded feller patted his hand on the saddlebags.
Take good care of it, Mr. Johnson.
You can count on it, Mr. Pope.
My breath slammed shut in my throat as I watched Johnson raise the lid on a small footlocker and drop the bags inside. Pope stood back and nodded his head. He was a tall, mean-faced man with eyebrows that met above his crooked nose. I caught a glimpse of a gold tooth as he sliced a wicked smile, stepped back, slipped through the flap of the tent, and disappeared into the night. Johnson stepped quietly to the flap, peeped out, then stepped back to the footlocker. I watched, not believing my luck, as he took out the saddlebags and pitched them under his cot. Thank you, Jesus. I thought it so loud, I hoped no one had heard me.
Do you ever sleep?
Chad rubbed his eyes and stared down at the saddlebags beside him.
The mother load, Chad. I'm talking the mother load.
But how?
I waited till he went to sleep, split his tent, took it, and slipped away like a sidewinder.
He's in with the Popes.
Up to his eyeballs. Can you believe it?
We need to think about this. We need to talk about some things.
Think? You must be crazy. You said you wanted in on something. Here it is, partner. All you have to do is help me stay alive till we get to Jack and Brown Horse. Because Johnson and the Pope gang are going to be on me like flies on a billy goat.
No doubt.
Shad flipped open the bag and ran his hand across the money.
It has to be the army payroll. There's nothing else around.
I don't give a damn if it's the president's petty cash. It's ours now. Let's roll up and get the hell out of here.
Absolutely. But what about the guards on the wall?
Are you still asleep, dammit? They're looking for somebody busting in. We're busting out.
Oh, brother.
Shad slipped back from the north wall and took his reins from Kermit.
This is amazing. There's only one guard at the small gate, and he's snoring.
The north gate was only 4 feet wide and used to carry out garbage. Fetterman hadn't even bothered to post guards around us or the horses. He must have figured we wouldn't be trying to leave with Red Cloud's warriors prowling about.
Then let's round up every horse in the place and take them with us, just for the sake of good manners. It's easy picking.
You're out of your mind. We've got the money. You need to talk to someone about why you're always wanting to steal horses.
All right, you take the saddlebags, but you two go on. I've got to take a few, just to show Fetterman that we ain't school kids.
Shad opened his mouth to say something, but changed his mind and shook his head. I reckon he saw my keyed-up condition. I watched as he and Kermit slipped quietly away, then turned with my arms outstretched toward the stables.
Come to Daddy.
Something was happening that night that would never happen again in 1,000 years, and like a gambler on a winning streak, I reveled in it. As Shad and Kermit waited 50 yards from the small gate, I let out string after string of horses. I stole so many, I got tired of stealing them. When the guard quit snoring, I snuck over, tied him up, drew a bandana around his mouth, and just kept on stealing. Stole until I ran out of anything to steal. It was a horse thief's heaven, and I was seated on the throne. By the time I got down to the bald-faced straw horse, I'd lost count. Shad finally had to yank me by the arm, or I would have started on the milk goats.
I hate to burst your bubble, but you know we can't hold these horses long. Not all of them, anyway.
I know, Shad. I just want Fetterman to get the point. I might have been screwed by a military man, but I want him to know he just got the same thing. Straight up from a no-count outlaw.
By the time we'd topped the high pass, I'd gained control of myself. Many of the horses had wandered away. We just couldn't hold them all. But it was worth risking a hanging just to be able to look down from the ridge and watch the troops chase them in the valley below. Jack and Brown Horse fell in with us near the top of the pass, and Brown Horse's warriors helped Kermit wrangle the remaining horses out across the stretch of high flat land. Band of Iron had ridden ahead to meet Red Cloud farther along the Bozeman.
You're right. This was better than you putting a bullet in him.
We watched Fetterman stand up and wobble in a two-wheel cart. A red ox trudged along, pulling the cart across the valley.
Move those horses into the corral! Damn it, the other corral!
5 yards behind him, Carrington sat on a sway-backed jackass with one hand on his hip, holding the reins high, military style. He had to be wondering how this would look in his monthly report. Two soldiers tackled an Indian Mustang around the neck. The Mustang bounced them off the ground 3 or 4 times, then slung them off and cantered away.
Serves them right. Confiscate, stealing a man's horses the way they did.
I didn't see Mad Johnson in the valley. I figured he was more concerned with the payroll money. He stood up from the edge of the ridge, and Shad slung the saddlebags over his shoulder. I nudged Jack. He ain't took his hands off that bag of money since I handed it to him. Reckon he feels better now?
This is what I meant by partner.
It'll get a lot lighter when you take out enough to buy Red Cloud's rifles.
I'll buy him a bunch of rifles if I have to pick them up at the factory gate. The more I look at this mess, the more I realize Cloud's the only decent son of a bitch north of the Laramie. He's the only one that belongs here.
Does that include us?
Shad hefted the bags across the back of his saddle. Nah, sir, because we came here with the best intentions. If everybody else would have done like they said, we'd have been gone long ago.
Be careful, Mr. Smith, or he'll start telling you about Red Cloud's farm.
His farm?
Some other time. We'll have Johnson and the Popes on us before long. We better take what we need to buy the rifles and stash the rest. Before we rode off, I spooked the remaining horses to cover our tracks and keep the soldiers confused. All the horses scattered except the straw horse, the bald-faced gelding. He just stood in a patch of grass as if he was still grazing in Carrington's yard. Poor bastard's been hobbled so long he don't know freedom when it smacks him on the rump. The straw horse followed us as we headed for the flat grassland. An hour later, we pulled into a stretch of high pines, took out money for the rifles, and buried the saddlebags under a heavy rock. We were headed back to our trail when Jack held up a hand and we froze behind him. He listened for a second, then held up one finger. Shad and I slipped our pistols from our holsters and slid down from our saddles. We crept to the edge of the pines and into a brush pile, the slow, steady sound of hoofs coming along our trail. Shad peeked up, then dropped back beside me.
You're gonna love this.
Army?
Ben Bone.
I'll kill him!
Don't shoot!
Seeing me, Bone fell backwards off the mule, just as Shad's hand swung over my shoulder and clamped around my gun.
Turn me loose! I gotta kill him!
Bone peeped around the mule, terror-stricken.
Can't you see he's not worth shooting?
Shad bounced the palm of his free hand off the top of my head. My eyes crossed, then snapped back. Shad snatched my gun and held it over his head. I swiped at it and missed. Bone stepped from behind the mule with a ball-peen hammer raised in the air.
Thank God it's y'all. I feared it was Injuns.
You'll pray to God it was Indians.
I leaped for my gun, missed, tried to snatch Shad's from his holster, but he jumped away.
Jesus Christ, can you all keep it down a little?
Thanks, Mr. Smith.
Give me my gun, Shad. I ain't fooling.
Shad handed my .44 over butt first.
Use your head.
I cooled down and dropped my .44 in my holster. In my rage, I'd forgotten the .36 under my arm and the other .44 under my shirt.
I'm sorry, you're right.
I turned toward Bone and his raised hammer. I stepped forward, leaned, jerking my Glades knife from my boot. Sunlight shot from the blade like a message from heaven.
I'll just gut him. Gut him like a hog.
And I'll holler till they hear me in hell.
Let's just feed him to Red Cloud. Take his hammer.
I stopped a foot from him and held out my hand. Okay, hand it over. Come on. I won't hurt you. Give it here. I let down my knife.
You mean it?
He slowly brought down the hammer and laid it in my hand head first. I closed my fist around it, slung it back, and popped him in the forehead. Just enough to raise a bloody welt.
Damn, you said...
Yeah, I know. But I lied. Truth is, I'm gonna hit you, kick you, maybe cut you a little. Every time I think of what you did to me. Right up till I pitch you in Red Cloud's lap. I might even help him skin you.
Mr. Smith, Mr. Shad, how's my boy? How's Kermit?
I shot him. What about it?
Bone looked up and his expression changed before our eyes.
Why, hell, not a thing, Mr. Smith. If you shot him, it's just because he deserved it. He worked no count, never was.
Cracked Bone on the back of his head. Let's start the beatings.